Hi, and a warm welcome to today's Mumma of Many podcast. I'm Christine Field, and I pray we will press in together and lay hold of everything that the Father has to say and impart to our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Kingdom living now. Let's go. Hi, welcome to Christine Field Ministries, Mumma of Many, and I'm so excited to dive with you today into the deep, to appropriate all of the treasure, the gold, the wealth that is there for us in God's word prophetically. And as we look at the Jewish month of Elul, as we are aligning with God's timing, what the Lord has for us to receive in this month. So are you ready to go with me on this Holy Spirit-filled journey? And I pray that the Lord will speak to your heart, that the Lord will bring his transformational change. He will rearrange what needs to be rearranged, and you are going to go forward with strength and power in this hour. So the month of Elul overlaps with our month of August and is from the 25th, Monday the 25th of August to Monday the 22nd of September 2025. It is characterized, I'm just going to quickly download the 5 points the Lord has given me that I will expand on prophetically for you today. Firstly, it's a month of, get this, miracles and mercy. It's secondly, teshuva, repentance, renewal and reset. Three, the Lord would say, the king is in the field. Four, God is turning the tables this month. The tables are turning. Hey, I've got some great news to bring your way today. And number five, stepping stones. Divine alignments for new assignments. This is the last month. It's the 12th month in the Jewish civil calendar. They actually have another calendar, which is their spiritual calendar, and the month of Elul is the sixth month in that spiritual calendar that starts from Passover. But to simplify it, next month Israel will be going live with their Jewish New Year. We'll be flipping from the year 5785 as it is currently to the year 5786 in the civil calendar. And wow, what a word the Lord is already pouring into me for the Jewish New Year, as I tend to bring annually. But going monthly, this has been a fairly new arena for me, as those following me will know, as the Lord is just saying, Christine, I want you to align with my timing monthly, and I'm going to show you and uncover for you what there is within his word and prophetically. So let's do that. So firstly, month of mercy and miracles. I sense that the Lord would say that this season ahead, all that we are coming into, is going to be marked by miracles. Signs and wonders. Miracles will follow those who believe. To those who are really cleaving and trusting in the Lord completely and looking to him, we are going to need the miracles. We will need to be marked by miracles. For all that the Lord is showing me is coming on the world, we are going to be those people not of this world, but demonstrating our King and his kingdom. It's going to be marked by miracles. There is a mandate for miracles. There is also a mandate for the martyrs to arise. So miracles, mercy, martyrs. His mercies are new every morning for us. Great is his faithfulness. When I say martyrs, oh, thank God there are so many throughout the ages, and even Christians around the world today. It's not been publicized on the mainstream media, but they are being martyred for their faith. Well, the Lord would say to us, as we see in Revelation, that they overcame with the blood of the Lamb, with the word of their testimony. They loved not their own lives to the death. The Lord wants us laying down our natural, our flesh lives. We're not to be loving those things of the flesh any longer. The Lord would say to us at this time, I was speaking with a very close heartbeat friend of mine this week, and I was saying how it's so important. I saw in one hand, you need to be letting go of all that would hold you back, pull you down and cause you to spiral. And in the other hand, you need to be taking hold of all that the Lord has for you that will set you up to soar above it all. So what the Lord is showing us, and when I'm talking about the context of the mandate for miracles, mercy and for martyrs, is that we need to be those who will not love our own natural lives, our self lives, to the death. But we are also going to be those, as the scriptures tell us, that we are crucified with Christ. And yet I live, but no longer I that lives. I'm not living the selfish life, the flesh life any longer, but Christ lives in me. I live to a new order. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live a new life. I'm living the life of the Spirit because he loved me and he gave his life for me that I could live and I could follow the Holy Spirit. Those who are children of God are, and sons and daughters of God will follow, are followers of the Holy Spirit in every way. So let us be living the spiritual life and living from Christ first and following him all the way. So it's a season of, the Lord would say to us, Psalm 24, 3-5, who may ascend? It's preparation time in Israel as they prepare for their holy days, for their high feast, for their the time God gave to them, the Moed, which means an appointment with God. It's a time where they ascend to Jerusalem where they can, the mountain of the Lord, to Mount Zion. Well, the Lord calls us, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord, who may stand in his holy place. Prepare at this time. Prepare your hearts before me, says the Lord, those who have clean hands and a pure heart. And the Lord would say to us that he wants us to make ourselves ready, to be ready. Secondly, Teshuvah, it is a month of repentance, renewal and reset. Repentance, that word Teshuvah, is not about condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He's purchased us for himself. And the Lord wants us continually, the word Teshuvah means returning. And with that is repentance. It brings us into right standing with God. It's coming into that closeness with him so that it's not about condemnation, but it's about restoration and transformation. Isn't that beautiful? So that we will be continually, our lives continually be transformed into the image of Jesus. That the more that Christine dies, the big I must die, so that Christ can be fully seen and revealed in and through my life. That's what this month is about for us as believers. So Teshuvah, repentance, renewal, reset. Moses, according to a lot of Jewish tradition and the Midrash and old Jewish writings, Moses ascended Mount Sinai for the second time for 40 days and 40 nights, starting on the first day of Elul. And he came back down with the second set of commandments and instructions for God's children to live by around Yom Kippur on the Day of Atonement. How amazing is that? So you can see there the repentance, the renewal and the reset after the terrible incident of the golden calf and worshipping idols. The Lord wants us to cast out all doubt from our lives, every idol from our lives. The Lord wants us to be letting go of all that's not of him and to be taking hold of all that is going to take us on in all he has for us in the days ahead. It's also, according to some traditions and writings, when Noah in the Midrash says that the rains of the flood started the first day of Elul for 40 days. It's associated, the month of Elul, with Jonah, who preached to Nineveh and they were given 40 days to repent. So that time, that season of repentance, of returning to the Lord, oh, how his heart longs for us. For it says, in returning and rest, you will be saved. And you will find strength, but you would not. The Lord is longing for us to return to him because then we can rest from our own striving, rest from trying to be good enough, but to take his yoke upon us, his burden that is light, and then to find rest for our souls in him. Isn't that beautiful at this time? So that's what this month is to remind us of as believers. Even Jesus, some traditions say, was baptized by John around the month of Elul, which then preceded 40 days in the wilderness. Interesting, hey? Now, traditionally, in this month, there are three things which I'm aware of that our Jewish brothers and sisters, many of them, will observe and do. As it's a month of reflection and of returning and of repentance, they will daily read Psalm 27, that beautiful psalm which begins with, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" I would really encourage you to read that every morning and night. That's what many do in Israel over and throughout the month of Elul. Everything is established by God's word. And what a beautiful psalm. It speaks about the one thing. Oh, may the one thing in our life be as it was for David, that we can read in Psalm 27, that I may dwell in the presence of the Lord. That's what this month is about, returning to him, returning to his presence and living in his presence, that I may live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold his beauty. Not to, what are you beholding? What are you looking at? What are you giving your attention to? Are you giving your attention to muck, to rubbish, to trash, to what's going on in this world? It will cause you to spiral down. But let your focus be on God and his word, and then you'll be able to bring hope, life-giving words, his prophetic life to the world around you and to the world that the Lord brings you into. Your world is different to my world. And the Lord wants us going in strong, doesn't he, at this time? It's another tradition that they follow is the blowing of the shofar. So every morning for 40 days during the month of Elul, starting from the first day until Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the shofar is blown every day. And that is to remind the children of Israel to return to the Lord. It's to awaken God's children. Oh, awaken my heart to love and adore you, O my Lord. It's an old chorus we used to sing when I was a child. Awaken my heart to pour out before you, O my Lord. Awaken my heart to know your love and to love you in return, freely flowing from an awakened heart. Be thankful I didn't sing it to you. But I just sense the Lord's awakening upon his church and upon his children at this time. The Lord is awakening us to his word, to his ways. Our ways, things which have seemed acceptable to us for so long, increasingly, the Lord is going to be awakening us to those things which actually are not the best for us. And we're going to be, I sense an awakening coming on his church. There is an awakening that we're seeing happen with many coming to know Christ. In they're talking about the silent revival, aren't they? And that silent revival is going to become a roar increasingly in the days ahead. So that shofar that is blown, it's like a spiritual alarm clock, awakening us to reflect, to repent, and to return to the Lord and to lean and to rest on him for everything. The shofar that we can blow is, let us be with our mouths. What God's word speaks, let us repeat. Blow the shofar of God's word. Let's be those who are declaring and decreeing. As we declare, decree, so shall it be. Everything is established by the word of the Lord. So let us be those who are people of his word, speaking his word over our situations, our families, over our children, and let's see God's miracles, that mandate for miracles, increasingly come forth. The shofar with our mouth can be giving God the highest praise. Let our prayers go forth at this time. And in fact, just today I was in the bath being very authentic with you here. And I let out such a scream. My shofar sounded loud and wide, let me tell you. I was, as I turned around after half an hour of soaking, I realised that there was a dead spider lying there beside me. I had been living alongside the enemy, and the Lord spoke to me in that moment. As it says in Joel 2, verse 1. How could I forget that name? My third-born son is called Joel. Joel 2, verse 1. Blow the trumpet, blow the shofar. It actually is, anytime you see it, the trumpet mentioned in the Word of God. Blow the shofar, the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The Word of God tells us that the day of the Lord, it's great. It's the great and terrible day of the Lord. It's going to be great for those who know and love the Lord. It's not so for those who don't. So that's why this is the time of teshuvah, of calling people to turn to the Lord, to return to him and to his ways. Nations return to the Lord. Governments, politicians return to the Lord, to his word, to his ways in these days, and we will be saved. We will know the greatness of our God and not the terribleness of everything that's going on in this world. And this is a time increasingly where we're going to be seeing God's justice and preparing for God's judgment to come. But going back to blowing that shofar, sounding the alarm, I sounded the alarm. There was a spider in the bath. I wanted my husband to come and to retrieve the spider. Can you believe he didn't hear me? And I had no option but to deal with that myself on the flannel and, yeah, overthrow. And the Lord spoke to me and showed me, Christine, many of my children, they are living daily with that which pertains to death, and they don't even know it. The Lord wants us. What are the things in our lives that can pertain to death? Fear is one. Doubt. We need to root doubt out. Anxiety is another. We can just be living with, and we make allowances for. We build coping mechanisms into our lives, whereas the word of the Lord says, be anxious for nothing. That's his word. But in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He doesn't want us living like this world in worry and in anxiety and in fear and in doubt. Throw it out, like I had to throw out that dead spider, because it pertains to death for your spiritual life and for your walk with God and for your walk of faith, and for you obtaining all that the Lord has for you at this time and to walk into. So yeah, let me encourage you today that the Lord wants you free. He wants you living free increasingly in these days. And that doesn't mean that you won't sometimes be feeling anxious. You won't be feeling afraid. It says in the Word of God, be strong and courageous, for I am with you. It doesn't say feel strong and courageous. It doesn't say that you're going to necessarily have to go by your feelings, but you have to go by faith until the feelings will then have to follow. Often what we have been doing is we have been following our feelings rather than following our faith and making sure then that our feelings have to follow. Our faith in God's word. Our feelings follow what God has to say. Let's get the shoe on the right foot. And that can be part of this month in these, you know, this is a time of stepping stones and stepping over into what will be a new year next month. How we end is so important in anything. It's equally as important as how we begin. And in fact, it says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 14, this is hot off the press. The Lord spoke this to me this morning. I love this verse. You've heard me repeat it many times. For I know the plans. I'm giving it to you, though, this time from the King James Version. I know the plans I think towards you, says the Lord. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. We often use the modern translations to give you hope and a future. Yes, that's God's plans. That's in his DNA for you, to give you that great hope. The confident expectation of good and of God is what hope means, and to give you the future. But it means to give you that expected end. What are you expecting at your end? Do you know, there are many people that just, they can talk about and they expect whenever they're old that, oh, well, my mum had dementia, so I'm going to follow that route. Oh, no, you're not. Not if you're going by the word of the Lord. What is the expected end for the children of God? What does his word promise you? You are going to be fresh and flourishing even in old age. What does God promise you for your health? That you are going to prosper and be in health, even as your souls prosper. How does your soul prosper? Through your faith in Jesus, in the finished work of the cross alone. We put our trust and our faith in his word, and then we're going to have an expected end. We're going to be expecting miracles because this is the month of miracles. There is a mandate of miracles going forward over our lives. We need to be having a confident expectation in the, I'm only saying this because it's coming to the end of the year 5785. It's the last month in that Jewish year. And it's important how we end. So the Lord wants us, if you're in projects, if you're in relationships, if God's moving you on, you always build bridges, you never burn them. Always build bridges that you can go back over, not that you burn bridges when it comes to people. And the Lord wants us to know that it's important how we end. I just felt to say that. Somebody needs to hear that today prophetically, that we always end strong, ready for the new beginnings that are to come. We end in love. We end in faith. We end according to God's word. And ultimately, something the Lord showed me, so many people put so much fear into their health whenever the Lord would have us trust in him completely. Let's not be those who are in fear. Let's have a confident expectation that whenever it's my time, I love the story of Smith Wigglesworth. It says that when he was 15 years before he died, he asked the Lord for 15 more years. He was in his 70s. He died late 80s, 15 years on. In the same week that he said in a meeting that was recorded, I've asked God for 15 more years. He was at the funeral of a good friend. He turned round to ask a question of the friend beside him. And just like that, he was taken up to glory. He went to heaven. What is your expected end? We're going to go for, I'm believing now that we go from life to life. I'm not going to believe in the negativity. I'm not going to give way to fear and doubt. And I just felt to say that. Take it out and let's start believing in God for our future and for an expected end. God's end, according to his word, my expectation is going to be in what the Lord's word says for my life. And I'm going to be fresh, flourishing, vibrant, and free all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, I'm not going to take a hold of those things that pertain to death. I'm not going to live with them any longer, but we're going to live free. Well, I've labored that a bit, but that's hot off the press, and it's just something very strongly that I felt that the Lord spoke to my heart. And a third tradition that the Jewish people have in this month, and it's third key point today, is they will say, the king is in the field. Now, that comes from a tradition whereby the kings of old, they would say at this time, they would come out of their palaces into the field to be with the people. And what I see prophetically for us is our king. It's a picture of Jesus. He left the splendor of heaven. He came and he tabernacled, the word of God tells us, among us. He wanted to be with us. To tabernacle, it's like setting up a tent. There's nothing cozier than being in a tent with somebody. The Lord wants to be our tabernacle. He wants to dwell with us. He wants to be one with us. If we go on from Jeremiah 29, verse 12 that I was reading before, then you shall call upon me and you shall go and pray to me and I will answer you. And you will seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I will turn away all of your captivity. Anything that is captivating us, God will destroy it on our behalf. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord. Where we're living, Israel is living in that prophetic fulfillment right now. I saw again plane loads of Jews coming back home to Israel, just as God prophesied would happen. They'd be scattered to the nations. And in our day, since 1948, we are seeing the greatest miracle of our time, and many of us are missing it right before our eyes, that God has brought Israel back to their land, just as he promised. And we are called to stand with her, to pray for her, to support her vocally, with our words, with our deeds, and in every way that we can. I love Israel, as you well know, with all of my heart. So yes, the king is in the field. He's drawing close to us. And Elul means harvest. It also means to search, which is where we're seeking the Lord, where we're returning to him, the teshuva, to the Lord. And harvest, the reason is because Elul falls at the time of year when in ancient Israel you'd be gathering the late summer harvest. So what I sense the Lord would say is, hey, go gather the harvest. Go gather the plunders of war. There is so much more. Go take the blessings. Put your stake in the ground. Take territory at this time. Arise. It's harvest time and the king is with you. When the king would come into the fields, it was to inspect how the harvest was doing, how the people were, how they were doing. Well, the Lord, I just sense his heart is for his harvest right now. His heart is for Israel, is for his church. His heart is, let us be fulfilling the mandate he's placed over our lives to represent him well, that mandate for miracles, the mandate to be his ambassadors and to be all that he's called us to be, the mandate to be his martyrs who pour out our lives for Christ and for others, that we will truly love others. By this will all men know you're my disciples, when you have love for one another. And greater love has no one than this, than you lay down your lives for your friends. Jesus modeled that, and he wants us to follow his example in pouring down leaders, pastors, children of the king. He wants us to be continually pouring out our lives like water for him and for those around us. It is so key for our victory at this time. So, number four, and I love this. Are you ready? God is saying, this month of Elul, God is turning the tables. The tables are turning. The Hebrew month of Elul is associated with the tribe of Gad. I love that tribe of Gad. It has great significance in my life because the Lord established my business on one of the principles that I learned and I saw from that tribe of Gad. But, and I'll come back to that in a second, but Gad, the name means strength, fortune, troop, mighty army. It's a sense of group strength. The Lord doesn't want us living as one out there on a limb, but he's calling us to live as one, the mighty family of God, the mighty army of God, that love for him and for one another, that we will lay down our lives for the call and the cause of Christ. Gad means warrior and success, overcomers. Gad was the tribe that dwelt the closest to the enemy because they were the tribe that the Lord, along with the half tribe of Manasseh and with Reuben, they were assigned their portion of the land on the west side of the Jordan, whereas the other tribes crossed over and they were assigned land on the other side of the Jordan. But for Gad, the half tribe of Manasseh, and for the tribe of Reuben, they were not allowed to settle in their land, although they would have obtained it first before they crossed over the Jordan into the enemy territory to take all of the land, until all of their brothers and sisters had obtained their land. And I sense that that's the love, that's the camaraderie, that is the army that God is calling us to be as one at this time. The Lord spoke to me when I established Hollinger Field Investments, our property company, wow, I don't know, 20 years ago maybe now, that it was too small a thing to just do it for one. Would I trust him to do it for everyone? And he showed me that I was to bring in my brothers, my family, as directors. And I remember at the time them saying to me, well, why would you do that? This is you obtaining the properties. This is your property business. And I said, well, this is what the Lord has shown me. It's not enough. And from that word that we can read of the tribes of Israel not settling in their land until the others had obtained and settled too, I knew that I was to be bringing in all of my brothers with me. And because of that, I believe that's why the Lord blessed our business exponentially. There is blessing in not living selfishly, but living selflessly and obediently according to the word of the Lord. Moving on very quickly, I also sense there's a blessing coming on businesses, as you will, and churches, as you will live with that principle of as one, not out on a limb doing it for yourself, but for everyone, the whole, in Jesus' name. Deuteronomy 33, verse 20 to 21. This is the blessing given to Gad. Blessed is the one who enlarges Gad's territory. The Lord says this season will be marked by increase and enlargement by the word of the Lord. Gad is poised there like a lion to tear off arm or head. The people of Gad took the best land for themselves. A leader's share was assigned to them. When the leaders of the people assembled, they carried out the Lord's justice and obeyed his regulations for Israel. Wow, this is the time, just like Gad was poised, you are to be positioned as a lion. Jesus Christ, he came the first time as the lamb that was slain. He is returning as the lion of Judah. God is calling us to prepare the way for the Lord, who is calling his children to arise as mighty lions at this time and to roar the word of the Lord, the justice of the Lord, the truth of the Lord at a time whenever truth is being so watered down. We are not to be people of compromise any longer. The Lord would have us to be as those lions. Why? Because he is returning as the Lion of Judah to bring his justice and judgment on the earth. And so just as John the Baptist said the first time, he prepared the way for the Lord, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Now we are, behold the Lamb of God and behold the Lion of Judah that is returning, and you're going to hear him roar. I sense it is time for lions and lionesses, arise and roar. You won't be silenced anymore. The Lord would say, no longer are you to roll over like a lamb and bar, but to rise and to roar once more in Jesus' name. We also see here that with Gad, he was blessed to cut off the head of the enemy and the arm of the enemy. The Lord would say to us today, the head represents the strategies of darkness. We are to cut off and to destroy the strategies and the schemes of darkness at the head. Cut off and appropriate the victory of the cross Jesus has won for us. He's already done it. We need to appropriate it. Cut off the arm, the activity of the enemy. So the strategy and the activity of the enemy, God has given us the authority to destroy in our lives as his church and in the earth at this incredible time we get to partner with heaven. Genesis 49 verse 19, Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. You may feel like you have been defeated. Oh, but the enemy, he is under your feet. The enemy, that dirty devil, was cursed in the Garden of Eden with the curse that he would be a snake that would writhe along the earth. He was given the domain of dust. Well, that's why we must crucify our flesh life. We are dust. We're made of dust, and to dust we will return. And it's so important that we don't give the enemy any dust, any sin to latch onto, any foothold that he can get into our lives. We are going to live free. That's what the Lord wants us to be increasingly aware of this month. The enemy was given that domain of dust, that domain of darkness. So anywhere we allow darkness to remain, or anything that pertains to death to stay, and to that dust, that flesh nature, then that's where the enemy can have his domain. He's not having you or me or my faith for tea. As we take God's word, we are going to be his people who live free. Didn't mean to say that, but I sense that the Lord would have me release that. For some reason, someone needs to hear that today in Jesus' mighty name. It's a time, if I read that from the NIV, Genesis 49 verse 19, Gad will be attacked by a band of raiders, but he will attack them at their heels. Whoa, the enemy under our feet. Psalm 66 verse 10 to 12, it says, "For you, O God, have tested us." Oh, you feel like you've been through the testing, the trials, child of God, but you have been refined. It says here, "You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net." Oh, you felt you were brought and you were contained, but the Lord is releasing you. You're coming out of that net. You're coming out of all of those wrong entanglements. He says, "You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads." The New Living Translation says, "You put a leader over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment." Another translation says, "You brought us out to a place of abundance." The Lord is bringing you out into abundance at this time. Those leaders that have been put into those positions, I sense the Lord would say, lead well. So when you lead as God would have you lead, the people and your church will not bleed. His church will not bleed. Enough church hurt. It is time for us to align with God's ways. Jesus is the head of his church, and he wants us to be as one. He wants leaders, pastors, apostles, prophets, whatever you're called to, whatever your position is, he wants leaders loving as Christ loves, and is so key at this time to people living free. Yes, it looks like the enemy has been riding over your heads, over your backs. Oh, but no longer, because there's an anointing that's been released in this month. The anointing of the Gadite spirit rising up. The enemy is at our heels and he's under our feet in Jesus' mighty name. Enlarging and taking territory from the enemy. And the Lord would say it's time to be proactive, to arise in your authority. You are the head and not the tail, because the tables are turning. The Lord wants you rising and roaring against that which is evil and that which is coming against your life, against your wife, your husband, against your children, against your family. You have been given authority. Enough is enough in Jesus' name. Israel, enough is enough. It's your time to rise and roar, and every enemy will fall at your feet by the word of the Lord. As goes Israel, so goes the church. We are pursuing. We are not being the pursued. The enemy is no longer pursuing us. We are pursuing and we are recovering all by the word of the Lord. So, number five, I just want to say, stepping stones, divine alignments for new assignments. In this turnaround time, the change is coming. You will not be the walkover by people, as you're going to see as I bring this prophetic vision the Lord gave me of the stepping stones. Circumstances are going to be trampled under your foot. You will no longer be trampled by your circumstances. You're going to rise above. You are going to bring the headship and the authority of Jesus to people, to your circumstances, and trample every enemy under your feet. That attack, it didn't take you out. It propelled you forward. It's about, in this month of Elul, the Lord wants to remind us, having his divine strength to put the enemy under our feet. All the time, the Lord has been having you gain spiritual strength. And in reality, now, the Lord is turning the tables on whatever challenges you're facing. In Jesus' mighty name. What the Lord showed me, and I just want to wrap this up now very quickly. I'm going to share this vision with you that I received. It was actually on the 20th of August at my dressing table, getting ready to head to Cambridge that day. And I had a picture as I was praying over a situation that was really weighing on my heart of stepping stones over a river or crossing a lake. And what I sense the Holy Spirit lovingly, tenderly teach and speak to my heart is, and I'm going to read this to you, some people will use you as a stepping stone and walk over you, but I'm aligning you with those who will support and walk alongside you, with you, upon me, your sure foundation, your rock. I am the stepping stone. No one should be walking over you. What I saw is leaders and people in the past who have used others as a stepping stone, and then they've walked over them, and then they've just walked on without them. The Lord would have us. Yes, there are relationships the Lord brings into our lives for a time, but the Lord never would have us just leave others and cast others aside. We should always be about the heart of Christ, to propel, to link arms with others and to bring others forward. And that's something that the Lord showed me very key, very prophetically at this time. He's bringing a change and a fresh aligning into his heartbeat of his church. The Lord would say, trust me for the next step. And as I was thinking about this vision afterwards, I realized that there were many steps still ahead and there was only a few behind. The enemy has been lying to many of you at this time and saying that your best is behind you. No. What is behind, the good, the bad and the ugly, has all been preparation for the glorious new and miraculous new the Lord is leading you into. And for the great conquests ahead, there's going to be a convergence of all that is gone before for the much more that is still before you. By the word of the Lord, receive that right now. What I see is the Lord is realigning and the Lord says, I am sifting people. He is weighing in the balance alliances at this time, and he is going to bring the right alliance to those that he is assigning you to be with and for your assignments. I sense the Lord saying that you're going to know the power of the faithful few too. I sense the Lord is realigning his people. A remnant will rise that will not use Christ's bride as a stepping stone to simply walk over, but in step, supporting and together as one. Beautiful heavenly alignments for God's assignments, living and loving, the Lord says, as family, to be the best we can be. Just as I would cheer my children on, I would lay down my life for them to be the best that they can be. So that is what the Lord wants to see in his church family. Fulfilling destiny and then arising, setting each other up for a win. So we arise as one, as the mighty army, to fight the true enemy that is without, not draining out from within. That's what happens whenever we're fighting the wrong enemy. We need to be strong together as one and fighting not personalities, but the Lord says to us, principalities and powers, and praying for people to be free, to be blessed and to come into all the Lord has for them. Fight the good fight of faith. So in closing, I'm going to pray. The Lord would say in this month of Elul, it's a month, firstly, of mercy and miracles, and for us to lay down our lives, that martyr mindset. Secondly, it's a month of teshuvah, repentance, renewal, reset. Three, the king is in the field. Oh, he's drawing near to you. Within that also, there is a beautiful acronym in Hebrew for the word Elul in Hebrew from the Song of Solomon, which is, I am my beloved's and he is mine. That beautiful statement makes up the Hebrew for Elul. Isn't that gorgeous? So the Lord is drawing so close to us. I am my beloved's and he is mine. His banner over me is love. How gorgeous. And fourthly today, God is turning the tables. Five, stepping stones, divine alignments for new assignments. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We go strong into this month of Elul. Lord, I thank you that we will take. And Lord, we will be those who will partake of all that you have for us. We let go of all that is of the old life, all that is of the past, all that is that would pertain to death. And we take hold of the glorious new and the miraculous mandate that you have for each and every one of us to walk into. We ask you, Holy Spirit, come and fill us anew with you. Thank you that you make all things new. We worship you, we give you praise, and we give you glory, and we pray, Lord Jesus, be magnified greatly in these days. We pray for the peace and the blessing and protection upon Israel at this time. She needs our prayers, Lord, right now more than ever. And Lord, may we stand as one together with Israel and as one together as your church and as one with you and in you and through you. Let's do and accomplish great works, wonders and miracles on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Till next time.